We are certainly blessed already with, as we gather together in Jesus' name, that the Lord is present with us. We're also thankful very much for the visiting elder brothers that are with us to serve us from God's word. We have Brother Mitch Jacob from Colorado Springs, Colorado, who will serve in English. Brother Jose Cervantes from Tecate, Mexico, who will have prayer in closing. And then we also have Brother Mateo Agustinov with us from Lawndale, California. And he will be serving us from, in Romanian as a blessing to those who understand. Let us keep the brothers in prayer as they would serve us from God's word.
Very thankful to be here in your midst this morning hour, and I count it a privilege to be able to serve you in this morning. And I would ask that you would, as Brother Robert had mentioned, to keep me in prayer. Before we open God's word, let us turn to him for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity to come before thy throne of grace and mercy, to hear of that word of life, and to receive that of that sustaining food that we need so much. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we have come with the intent and expectation, Heavenly Father, to be fed by thy word, that it would not be the words of man, Heavenly Father, but that thy spirit would feed, edify and strengthen each and every one of us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our hearts would be prepared to receive this word of truth, and that we would not only be hearers, but that we'd be doers, taking these things to heart and applying them to our lives, each day of our lives. Heavenly Father, that we would bring glory and honor to thy name. Heavenly Father, we know that there are individual needs, collective needs. Thou knowest our hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, you would bless us as the word would go forth, that it would have the power to touch each heart in the areas that need to be touched. And as our needs are diverse, Heavenly Father, thy spirit is able to do that, to make the word to have a special effect in each and every one of our hearts according to the need. We look to thee, Heavenly Father, for leading thy spirit and thy guidance. And we ask all these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. I desire with God's help this morning to read from the book to the Hebrews, Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 3. I desire to read the entire chapter, and I'd like to go into chapter 4, the first five verses. Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore was I grieved with that generation, and said, they do not always err in their heart. They do always err in their heart, and have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise of being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Read unto and including the fifth verse of the fourth chapter, fulfillment of it. And it wasn't because of what God had not given them, it's because their unbelief. As we consider this, these two chapters here, we think about the example we have of a journey that was supposed to take 40 days and turned into 40 years. And even after that 40 years, only two entered into that promise. And as we see here, as written about as we can read in verse 2 of chapter 4, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. And how does our gospels compare? The gospel of what they had and the gospel of what we have today. What are the differences and what is the same? And the biggest difference that I can say is the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a greater promise than that which was given to them. They had a promise to enter into a rest in a new land that was given to them, though they would have to battle to receive it. But it wasn't their battle, it was really God's battle. And it was a matter of having that faith to follow through that the power of God would be manifest in them. But what was it that really hindered them along the way? That journey was supposed to be set to not being very long. And it turned into much longer than they anticipated. And that wore them down. You know, God's promises were true. He covered them. He gave them light when it was dark. He sheltered them from heat when it was too hot. Their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't grow weary. He provided for them along the way. Is that true today? Absolutely. God's promises are true. But as they had struggles along the way, they had situations that would prove them, to prove their faithfulness or their faithlessness. And that was very evident. And we see that same parallel today, that we have the same trials, struggles, tribulations. And as they encountered these, as so many people all at once, they were dealing with what they saw amongst them. You know, whether it was a challenge of an enemy they had to conquer, or whether it was a lack of water or a lack of food. Our struggles can be more individual, more private. And often we don't know what kind of struggles we have in our personal lives. And often we, looking at one another, don't understand that either. And our expectations for one another can be skewed by what we don't know. And if we consider the differences between the two, first of all, the promise that they had that they would enter into the land of milk and honey, something prepared by God and promised to them, that in their journey, they lost sight of that. And they looked back to the land in which they had left behind. The land that they left behind was not a pleasant place. It was initially in this land of Goshen. They had many good years there. many years of prosperity, many good years where they had more than they needed. But as things turned more difficult, and they were persecuted, they were taken advantage of. The threat of the Jews overtaking them became such a threat that they were treating them harshly, cruelly, casting out the young, hindered from even repopulating, to the point that the intent that they would be killed off. If we think about that in parallel to today, the comparison of today, that's becoming more apparent and more true, where there's new hindrances coming up each day, new challenges. But if we consider what they had a promise of God, they had the leading of Moses. And here the writer here of Hebrews makes the comparison between Moses and Jesus. And how much better throughout this book of Hebrews, it's mentioned over and over and over again, the superiority of what Jesus Christ did for us. We can read back in the Gospels that the Jews said that Moses gave us bread. Jesus said, no, it wasn't Moses that gave you bread, it was my Father. And yet Jesus came down to be that bread. As he even talks about here, about he is the bread and the wine. He is the sustenance that we need. He is that strength. He is our life. But what are the promises we have today, and how can we compare the promises to what they had in the past? They had a promise that they would enter into a place that they could call their own, and that they would have the blessings of God there, and they could prosper again in service to God. They could be freely sacrifice, praise God. They could worship God properly. But eventually they would die. That was a place that they would be temporarily. If we think about what Jesus Christ did for us to give us life eternal, the promise to be with our Heavenly Father. But the journey is similar in many ways. You know, we may not crave the leeks or the meat that they were lacking in their journey. We have plenty of food here. Whatever our craving is, we can have. When we need water, we have water. When they had plenty, they strayed away. And that's the parallel we have today. As we have plenty, what are the struggles we have? Isn't it even carnality? Isn't it even the petty things that from day to day really take our focus away from our journey, from our path? And if we consider the path that they had a direct path going from Egypt to Canaan. And because of their unbelief, they zigzagged through the wilderness, through the deserts. They zigzagged through where that journey went from 40 days to 40 years. And even so, almost none of them entered in. How does it compare to us today? Where is our focus? Where is our heart? What is the promises in our heart that we hold to or don't hold to? What are the distractions that get in the way? What is the carnality? You know, the last couple days we heard in our meetings there was devotions for 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Apostle Paul talked about the early church, how they had struggles, where they got caught up in the carnal things of this world rather than the spiritual, seeing the big picture. And that's something that I think will, God willing, come out in these two chapters, how it's not just about what we see, the appearance of things, but it's really from the heart. As Apostle Paul was speaking to the church in Corinth, they were distracted by the differences between Apollos and whether Peter, call him Cephas, or Christ. And their focus was on individuals, an individual man. Much like the Jews in Christ's time were looking to Abraham and to Moses. What's promised to us is the law of God written in our hearts if we walk in the Spirit. And that's the difference that as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Apostle Paul was telling them that they need to get past the carnality to be able to grow, to be able to get past the milk of the word into the meat of the word. And as they would get into the meat of the word, they would understand and grow in truth and in grace, and that they would have a closer walk with the Lord through the leading of the Spirit. If we're thinking carnally, and we're distracted by so many things around us, can we be led by God's Spirit? And that's really the focus here. They were looking to Moses for the guiding. Today we look to God's Spirit. If we listen. If we listen to that small, still voice that is trying to speak to us, that's trying to lead us. But do we want to hear him? Do we want to be led by him? Or do we want to find our own way? And the parallel here is that in this time, they wanted to have what they wanted when they're thirsty. They wanted water right then. When they wanted, they craved meat. God gave them the birds, but he gave it to them in frustration because their faith was lacking. How is our faith today, and how does that apply to our lives today? How do we look at those around us or even our own lives? Are we quick to look at others rather than our own hearts? Are we quick to listen to God's Holy Spirit, or are we quick to tell others what they ought to do? And there's a time for all these things. You know, we can read in verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. There is a place for that. But can we, are we in a position if we haven't really purged our own hearts? If we haven't really looked at our own lives to see how well we align, who are we aligning ourselves to? Who is the example? We can read in Ephesians chapter 4 that Christ is our example. He is the one to measure up to. Is that our focus? And we can read in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says, those that compare themselves one to another are not wise. You know, we can make ourselves look as good or as bad as we want, depending on who we compare ourselves to. But when we compare ourselves to Christ, we see where we fall short. And that really humbles us and really sets us back in the right heart to really look to him for the strength and the guidance that we need. And without that, we're without a compass. We really don't have a direction. On our own, we really can't trust ourselves. We can read in Jeremiah that, you know, the heart is deceitful. It's wicked. Can we really trust our own hearts? Can we trust our own judgment walking in the flesh? That's why we need so much the Comforter. We need God's Holy Spirit in our lives, and we need to be listening. We need to be listening intently. And it's not just a matter of demanding to hear, but there's a patience that goes along with that. When we pray, we wait patiently, which tests our faith. Are we willing to wait upon the Lord for the guiding of his Spirit? And that when we do get that direction, that directive, that we immediately apply that. That we don't question it. That we don't doubt. But that we act in faith. Because that's what we wanted in the first place. We ask God to give us his Holy Spirit. Not to be there as a crutch, but to be a guide. To be a comfort, to be a strength. When we lose sight of that, we lose sight of the greatest gift that we have down here upon this earth, to be led of God's Holy Spirit. And as the Jews had a leader there, a very strong leader, you know, it speaks about Moses that he was the meekest man. He could have stayed in Pharaoh's house. He could have had all the luxuries, but there was a conviction in his heart. He had a yearning for his people, a love for his people. And that he wanted them to have things better, which was very directly the reasoning that Jesus Christ came down to suffer for us, to die for us, that we could be reconciled to the Father through his shed blood, that we can have that life experience, the life abundant, in the newness of life, rising up from that watery grave. That is the promise. And that's what gives us hope. But do we set that aside? Do we set God's Holy Spirit aside to look in our carnal ways, to find our way? You know, we can read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Jesus Christ is a foundation. There is no other foundation than that. But we're called to build upon that foundation. What are we building? You know, we can see that the examples are given there. You know, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What is it that we're building in our lives? You know, sometimes it doesn't show on the surface. We can put on a facade. We can put on a show that we have everything in order. But does our heart testify to that? Do our lives testify to that? There's nothing hidden. So it says here, there is nothing hidden from God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's nothing hidden before God. Are we kidding ourselves if we think that we're pulling the wool over God's eyes? But as we look into the Word, as we read God's Word, it convicts us if we're open to the conviction. God's Holy Spirit will speak to us even as we read the Word of truth. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do we allow ourselves to go into areas that are not conducive? Do our thoughts stray? Are our thoughts subject to God's Holy Spirit? Do we think about how this appears? And if we apply ourselves to the words that we read, does it stop us in our tracks to say, what am I doing? How can I allow these things in my heart, in my life? And what are the effects, the short-term and long-term effects? You know, we're so used to dealing with the here and now. You know, if it's okay now, I'm okay. Do we think about the long-term effects of sin in our lives, even the temptation, how we deal with temptation? That will lead us on a journey, as it did for the Jews, that can start out as 40 days and turn into 40 years and never enter in. That's the example we have here. That if we're not clear in our intentions and giving ourselves completely to the leading of the Spirit, we're going to go astray. And when we read the Word, do we put it aside, or do we let it come into our heart? And it speaks so much in this chapter, these two chapters, about hardening our heart. When our heart is soft, the Word penetrates. The convictions get to our heart. But if we harden our hearts, we're separating ourselves from the leading of the Spirit. We're separating ourselves from what we need so much, to be convicted. And when we have that conviction, do we try to justify ourselves in our own eyes? Or try to minimize it? Try to push it away from us? You know, the conviction of God's Holy Spirit is the most precious thing we have going for us. If we lose that, we've lost all. We've lost our compass. We've lost our direction. And we're off on a different path. You know, the point A to point B is a straight line. When we start straying, it becomes either a zigzag or an arch or something that the distance becomes much greater. And that's what we have to think about in our lives. How far have we strayed from the leading of the Spirit? How far have we strayed from the truth of God's Word? How often are we convicted? And how do we respond to the convictions that God gives us? Do we welcome that? You know, there's a huge difference when we welcome God to show us. You know, David said, you know, search me. Search my heart. Let me see if there be any wickedness in me. Do we ask God that? Do we want to know? Or is that the last thing we ever want to know? Rather be justified. But when we ask God to search us, to see that we would see the truth of how he sees us, there's a power in that. When we really want that, that he will show us the truth. And when we're shown the truth, we have a choice. How will we respond to that conviction? Do we allow that conviction to penetrate into our hearts completely? Or it breaks us. It breaks the pride. It breaks the carnality. And it breaks us down to a place where God can shape us and mold us as a piece of clay that can be molded, rather than a hard heart. Hard clay can't be molded. It shatters. Do we want a hard heart? And it's so clear in these two chapters what a hard heart will do. It deceives us. It leads us astray. It separates us from the sustenance of God's word and the power of his spirit. Do we allow that in our lives? It's very clear here that we have a choice. You know, we have so many liberties and choices we have, and we can read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and chapter 10. I believe verse 12 of chapter 6, where it talks about we have the, we can make a choice of whatever we want. You know, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. You know, all things are lawful, but I will be not be brought under the power of any. And then also in chapter 10, verse 23, he talks about all things edify not. So if we apply these criterias to the choices we make from day to day, think about where it's going to take us. Will it the choices that we make, is it going to edify us? Is it going to bring us closer to alignment in that journey, getting to that promise? Or is it going to lead us astray where we're going to be zigzagging back and forth, and who knows if we're even going to get there? We have liberties. We have choices. We have opportunities all around us. Every day we have new opportunities. But our choices really say a lot about our journey and our heart. Whether we're listening to the guiding of God's Spirit, whether we're looking for opportunities to glorify God, or whether we're just biding our time and waiting for a promise that we think we have a hope for. You know, it takes us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's something that's going to be built upon that foundation. And if it's wood, hay, or stubble, it's not going to stand through the fire. Going through that fire, through the purging process, there will be nothing left of what we had built upon. But the foundation is strong. We can still be saved, but even if we are saved and we come before God and we don't have the good works, or we can be ashamed. So you can make a case for either way, but what is your heart? Is your heart that you want to serve God? Do you fully want to be committed to whatever he wants you to do, is asking you to do? Are you looking for more? Are you finding reasons to do less? And that really shows the intent of the heart. Do we love God? Do we fully trust him? Do we murmur as the Jews did in their journey? Do they complain? When things are too easy, is our tendency to fall back into sin? To go back to the old Egypt, which is our old lives? How serious do we take that? You know, there's times when we're gonna slack. There's gonna be times where our heart will drift away. But this is a reminder here. The farther you go, the blinder you get. The further you distance yourself from God's Holy Spirit, the less you're going to hear him. The more you harden your heart, the less he can do. You know, God's Holy Spirit has been working in us even before we recognized or knew who he was. He was convicting us from an early age, teaching us and showing us and the things that are right and wrong. And when we came to the understanding, for those that are the sons and daughters of God, when we came to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it wasn't by our own intellect. It wasn't by our own, even our own choice. It was by the power of the Spirit convicting us, and we chose to let God's Holy Spirit convict us and to bring that truth into our heart. Even as Jesus told Peter that flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. That's the power of God's Holy Spirit. And he was working in my life much before I even knew it. But when I came to a realization that he was working in my life, I was so thankful that he was there. He's been there to convict me. And that conviction, I still need that conviction today. We all need that conviction today, because there's going to be times when we don't see things properly. There's going to be times when we make choices that might be a compromise or just a bad choice altogether in the moment. But when God's Holy Spirit tells us there's something wrong there, our response is going to be critical. How quickly do we acknowledge? You know, as King David did when Nathan the prophet came to him, when he was told what he had done, he didn't minimize it. He owned it. He embraced it. And it cut him down to the heart where he was broken. And that's an example for us when there are things that come up in our lives, and sometimes it could be spur of the moment, or it could be something that's been lingering. God's Spirit is there to convict us. When we allow God's Holy Spirit to convict us, and we take it as truth, and we're thankful for it, it has the right effect in us. And it draws us closer to God. And the effect of that in the end is that we feel closer and we grow. And that's part of the growth process, because we are going to stray, we're going to stumble, we're going to fail. But through those experiences, when we come back to God, our relationship is much stronger. We realize our weakness. We realize the need for God in our lives. And hopefully it has a lasting effect that we don't just meander back and forth back into sin. God is providing a way for us. His grace is sufficient for every challenge. His mercy and his love is there when we're obedient to him. And it hurts him when we're not. But he wants us. He still has a love that God's Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, is trying to bring us back, to align us with the truth of Jesus Christ, and to be built up in the measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ, and that we would build upon that foundation would be gold. Gold that gets purified in the fire. Gold that there is no shame when we come before God. That's what he has a desire for each and every one of us. It's within our ability to do that if we make the right choices. God's Spirit is there to help us. May we yield to his Spirit. May we be listening and willing to embrace those things that God shows us in our lives that need to be corrected. May God bless these words.
The chapter of Hebrews that the brothers share remind us the people from Israel coming from Egypt. And when this was written, they had a special purpose for them. Not to the people in those years, but the children's children. The Apostle Paul, as what we believe, this was the writer of Hebrews, he expressed God's intention in his people. They was just out of Egypt. They took about everything from Egypt, including idols. And those idols was a troublemaker for them through the years, through the way. And God took his time to work in their hearts. He spoke to them once, spoke to them again and again and again. God's intention was to have a special people according to his heart. They crossed the Red Sea. They got to the mountain that I don't remember the name right now in English. And God gave his laws. And God spoke to them, and I will say face to face, because even when God was in the mountain, and there was a cloud, and there was a fire, and there was a voice like a trumpet, God spoke very clear. So when he speaks to us, he's clear. And the scripture says, if you hear his voice, don't make your hearts hard. And this is our problem. God wants to speak to them, but besides the mountain, and he established limits. Don't cross the limits. So that was important for his people and today for us. Let's not cross the limits. If anyone touches the mountain, will die, even the animals. He wants to have a special relationship with us. And that is why God takes his time with us. We don't know all the details, but I know that one day we can ask God every question that we have, and he will answer to us. I think what's more, that only because they disobeyed, they was not in the, they don't enter in the promised land, the first generation. I believe there was more than that. Their hearts was not right with God. We as parents, we teach our children and we give him instruction and direction and counsel, and we never got tired. Sometimes we got disappointed. And I feel God, sometimes he feels disappointed with us. He gives us instruction, direction, counsel. Recently, I was talking to a young brother, and I said, this is what I think is good for you. And he says, thank you for your opinion. I said, brother, it's not opinion. It's my advice. It's a big difference. And every one of us can have an opinion and things. But counsel, wisdom, come from above. When we know, when we see God's purposes in our own lives. And this is what we want. This is what God wants for us. His purpose. So he make us in his own image. And he give us a shape like the clay. Some time ago I saw a man that worked with a big piece of clay. There was a hard piece of clay. So he pressed on the clay hard 3 times. And then he poured some water. And then he go again and again and again. And pour more water. And he go again and again and again. And that clay was getting softer and softer and softer. And then he was able to make a form, and a beautiful piece of clay was formed into a pattern. This is just God's intention for us. So if we hear his voice, let's not make our hearts hard. He wants to keep working in our lives. We thank God for his word.